All right, let's hit the shuttle run, Tyler. We're going to do it, and we're going to talk probably mainly Mavericks. Last night settled in after a nice finish in the New York-Boston game. Overtime, Boston had a big lead. New York came back. Then Boston had to come back. It's an overtime, and the game-winning block, game-saving block by Jalen Brunson. And New York wins that game in Boston. That was a fun watch last night as I started to prepare myself to see Mavericks and Suns.
Well, but throughout his career, he's been a noted rim protector.
It was a 3-point attempt.
I know.
And he got all that one too. It was great, and they mixed it up. That was a fun game. And then we get to Mavericks and Suns. And in the first 3 minutes, Luka rolls his ankle. He's out. And that made me settle in even more, saying, okay,
me too.
How is this team going to react and play without Luka?
Okay, question. Phoenix starts to roll in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And they start rolling up points. It looks like they're headed for a 40-point first quarter. At that point, you're saying to yourself, uh-oh. Everybody's going to hang their heads from the Luka injury. Are we in trouble here?
The only concern I had at the beginning was Chris Paul going off scoring.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, if he's scoring, then everyone else is going to. That's something that he helps everyone. He doesn't score himself. And when he started getting loose early in the first quarter, okay, let's see how they respond. But they responded nicely. And the Mavericks did that last night, seriously, with a six-man rotation.
Incredible effort.
They had Bertans playing the five for like 5 minutes. That lets you know what kind of effort they had in that game to not get blown out by 40 when you have Bertans playing the five. It is so evident, even with Luka on the floor, just how tiny the Mavericks are and how you can almost understand they have to work to go get those rebounds, and they have to work to keep those guys out the paint because they don't have any size. And the guy that they signed in the offseason that seemed like would be perfect in this situation with Ayton being the big guy in the middle with Biombo and still cannot get the warm-ups off. I was flabbergasted by that.
Think of this. We have reached a point of this NBA Mavericks season where they would rather give 5 minutes at center to Davis Bertans than JaVale McGee. Yikes.
You think DFS is back? He looked good last night.
He did.
And
I think he started
12
around
rebounds.
Yeah, he's rounding into form coming off that injury.
After a game like this, and I don't know if they're going to have to play another game without Luka. He's day-to-day. They play tomorrow night in Utah. Those guys, Finney Smith, Powell, are going to have to keep that same aggression on offense even with Luka there. Because with Luka, it's a tendency to stop and watch. Because now the offense is get around the three-point line. He's going to get you an open look, and now you have to knock it down. It was Dorian Finney-Smith putting the ball on the deck, getting to the basket. Powell putting the ball on the deck and cutting because it was so open. And they played. I was so impressed and proud with those boys last night. Just weathering those storms, and even in the fourth quarter when they started roaring back because Dallas had a 9-point lead and it looked like it was over, and Phoenix got it down to one, and Bullock makes one or two free throws.
Uh-oh.
And then Dwight Powell goes and outworks two dudes to get that rebound and makes both free throws to ice the game. And another thing, it may be tiny. I may be grasping for straws because I'm such a big Mavericks fan. That after the game, of course, they were going to talk to Dinwiddie. He had 36. And before I finish that story, how great was it to see Spencer getting the Luka treatment? But when he was getting the blitz Luka treatment, he was dribbling out of it and finding those guys cutting to the basket. Like, it was like, whoa, okay, you can do that. That was great.
I hope they keep him. I don't want to move him.
When we talked earlier about people you don't want to see off this team, and I told you, Luka, Dorian Finney-Smith, Maxey, and Josh Green. I'm adding Spencer Dinwiddie.
Everybody else available?
Everybody else. Go, but then you go, okay, well, you're not really going to get too much from that, and I understand that. But Spencer showed last night that when we had him, the podcast, Sean, when we played the audio from Spencer Dinwiddie on mm-hmm. that podcast, And he was like, okay, everyone thinks we're bums because Luka is such an alpha, such a number one, that it makes it seem like we don't know what we're doing and we can't play. But he's like, I average 20 points in this league. I know what I'm doing. And he showed last night that he, when he needs to take over, he can not only get in his own shot and get into the rim, but getting everyone else involved.
And as Dinwiddie was playing well in the first half, you heard Van Gundy say what we've said a lot. This is a good example as to why you might want Luka to not be so, you know, ball dependent or, you know, having the basketball all the time, and that's your offense. Because there's, if you can play Luka off the ball, you have another guy that can do something in Dinwiddie.
I had a thought as I watched last night's game, relevant to the Washington game, to the two Portland games, and to something Donovan just said a moment ago. I think the Mavericks do at the offensive end fall into this watch Luka mode. And you know what? When you watch at on 147 foot part of the court, you watch at the other end. It's impossible, I think, to turn from a watcher on offense to a player on defense. And the Mavericks in those games sucked defensively. Last night, they held Phoenix, by the way, had been playing pretty well. They held Phoenix to 41% shooting because they were into the game at each end of the floor.
Their offense had been pretty bad here. They got four out of their five starters in the lineup last night. Still don't have Devin Booker. And Ayton, if Ayton had been better, they probably don't win this game. Ayton was missing a lot of bunnies at the basket, a lot of hooks. Yeah. But then he puts himself in a situation to where if you know you have a guy that you are stronger than, bigger than, and can take him down to the basket, why settle? And yeah, he settled a lot last night.
Why are you throwing 6-foot hook shots? Take him to the rim.
To the benefit of Dallas. And he, you know, the numbers look good on the surface, 19 points and 20 rebounds, but he was 6 of 20 from the field, and that helped out Dallas a ton.
One more thought about Ayton. As I've watched him over the years, a thought has crystallized. He won't go all the way to his left very often. He'll go to his left and pivot to his... Wait a minute. Yes, he'll pivot to his left, but he comes back to the right and his hook shot. He goes to the left, turns around, dribbles once, and back to his right-hand hook shot. He's got to take that move to the left where he bounces it once and turns back. He's got to bounce it again and head right up to the rim on that side. But, Donnie, that's Phoenix's problem. The Mavericks were fantastic last
That's a big boy win. Didn't turn the ball over a lot. Only playing six guys, basically, without Luka. They had Bertans. He played 10 minutes. Neal Akina played 8, and that was maybe one of the most underwhelming 8 minutes you'll see.
Oh.
And Hardy. Hardy goes in. He is not afraid to shoot. And that's a good quality for a rookie, I think.
Well, maybe he should be a little more afraid to shoot.
No, man.
He's not scared. But you got to have people like that with that offensive mindset on your squad, I think. And he has it. It's just him getting consistent with it and, you know, creating his own shot. He can create a shot, and that's, I think, is what the Mavericks, this team, is missing. Another shot creator. But it's going to take him a while to get into the flow of being consistent with it.
He's a little wild, man.
That's okay. That's okay. But with Finney Smith and Dinwiddie and Powell yesterday being – and I thought Powell was really aggressive in the Washington game looking for his offense. If this is unlocking something with him as far as being able to put the ball in the basket and giving his A effort like he does, that rebound, there's no way he should have gotten that rebound at the end to seal the deal. Did you hear what Chris Paul said to him, Sean, at the end? He's on the free throw line. He's standing there. Paul walks up to him and says, "You're going to make the first one but miss the second one." And, I don't know if I finished it. Dinwiddie made Powell do the interview with him after the game. And that's what teammates are all about. Of course, they wanted to talk to Spencer. He scored 36. But he was grabbing on Dwight Powell and said, no. You're going to do this with me. You're on this one with me. So that's when he said what Chris Paul told him. I said, I guess he was half right. But that's really cool as teammates, not to take the shine, saying, look, I couldn't have done this without that rebound. You need to talk to him, too.
Well, didn't earlier in the season, didn't Woody go out of his way to talk about Powell?
He did, yes.
Being ready every night, no matter how many minutes he was getting?
Because that was probably a time where he wasn't getting a lot of consistent minutes.
That's when we were giving minutes to JaVale McGee.
But now he is firmly the starting center on this team, and it is such a tiny team, Norm. They looked so little last night.
They give a whole new definition to small ball.
That one lineup they had with Hardy, Green, I think it was Ntilikina, Bullock, and Bertans. Just survive these Spencerless minutes that you had last night. Yes. And they did. Big boy win, man. I was proud of those guys last night.
It's like Kidd turned to his assistants when Bertans was playing center and said, tell me when we reach 5 minutes.
But he didn't do that in the fourth quarter. He did it in the second quarter because I think Spencer came back with like 6 minutes left. In the fourth quarter, 9.5. Hey, come back.
Over here, baby.
I'm not playing around. And he put everyone back in at that particular time.
You know, there's one other quick story that affects sports fans in this area. And that is that the Diamond Sports Group, now, in 2019, Disney decided to sell all of its regional sports channels. And the Diamond Sports Group bought them at exactly the wrong time, because cable sports viewing has been dropping significantly over the last few years. Now, cable sports viewing drops, what else is dropping? Revenue. And it's now gotten to the fact that they have Bally's in this area. And they've got, I think, 21 city area sports channels around the country. Donnie, they're facing one of two possibilities. Reorganizing under bankruptcy. Oh boy. That would give them the option of ending contracts. Boom. End it there with the Rangers, the Mavs, the Stars. They'd all be out. Now, if that happened, the Mavericks and the Stars would have an off season to see what they could put together. But this is right on the cusp of the season for the Rangers. The other thing is, there's talk, Donnie, that the company could halt payments to teams while keeping the contracts in place. That would mean the checks stop.
So what does that mean for television viewing for everyone?
There you go, buddy. What does that mean? Where are they going to be? Will Bally's be back? Will they all have to run out there and cut deals? Will Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, pick up some of the slack here? It's a messy situation.
It's just been the biggest cluster since it started.
Well, basically, since it started, cable viewership is down, 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 and that means money is down, down, down.
I love this.
Sean.
I love that Sinclair and Diamond, whoever is in charge now, is just taking in the shorts. And they just banked on everybody paying $20 a month to watch their product, and we all went, I'm good. That well was poisoned way before you came up with this app, and everybody said, meh, not good enough. And
I'm
you hear
good.
Reports that the app is just kind of crap, too.
Really? They thought that this was going to be it. Pockets were going to be lined up because everyone, hey, we're paying for everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pay for this. They're going to pay for this also. Let's go.
You know what? They'll figure something out. These leagues will have their product shown somewhere.
Sure. I just don't want my television viewing interrupted because of those doofuses.
Well, are the sports fans going to wind up paying? Somehow, one way or another, they're going to pay with either money for a new subscription or
interruption to the
exactly
service and
right.
not be able to watch.
They're
going to
pay with, I wanted to watch the Mavs tonight or the Rangers tonight or whatever.
If these leagues were smart, they would kill the local blackout, put everything on their apps, and try to make the revenue that way.
There you go. Sean Bass, Commissioner of Major League Baseball.
Diamond Talk is going to get all the money.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.